Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, March 21st, 5:30 a.m. Central Time. As I speak, Brian Split is joining me this morning. Joe is still on vacation. We're going to start off this morning with some news concerning Brazil. The powerhouse continues to dominate the U.S. as China's main supplier of corn and soybeans. China imported 4.1 million tons of Brazilian corn during January and February, an increase of 178% compared to last year. Brazilian imports accounted for 66% of total Chinese corn imports during that time period. Meanwhile, Chinese imports of U.S. corn declined by 67% and only accounted for 12% of total imports. Chinese imports of Brazilian soybeans also surged during the first 2 months of this year, increasing a whopping 211% year over year to nearly 7 million tons. Brazilian imports made up 53% of China's total soybean imports. Imports from the U.S. fell by 51% and accounted for only 38% of China's total soybean market share. So when it comes to reduced corn exports to China, is the U.S. outpriced by Brazil, or is this a logistical issue, or what's going on here?
I think there's a multitude of factors, and I think it starts, you could probably look back 15 years ago, the writing was on the wall with China investing substantial sums of money in Brazilian infrastructure. And so it was about a decade ago that the Brazilians overtook the U.S. on soybean exports. Here we are with the Brazilians last year overtaking the U.S. on corn exports. And that may be something that flip-flops a little bit here and there. It really took a few years for them to really say, yeah, we are the ones that are exporting more beans than the U.S. So there could be a couple of years back and forth where we take the lead or they take the lead. But China, the writing was on the wall a while ago that China was putting a lot of money into Brazil. So then you have the soybean issue here recently, and a lot of that is just has to do with the size of the Brazilian crop. Even though it is smaller than we thought it was going to be, it's still an awful lot of beans, and it's a fresh harvest. So China, you know, will take our harvest and buy what they need to buy to get to the new Brazilian crop, and then they buy that for a while. But it does appear that we're starting to see a little bit of export business pick back up, which this is not typically the time of year that we would expect soybean business. Really, we're turning into more of a corn shipment type of a atmosphere seasonally right now, and we would expect the majority of our exports to be corn, not beans. But it is nice to see some of that pick up a little bit right now.
We have some more news coming out of South America. Excessive rainfall in Argentina could damage crop yields. The precipitation has alleviated drought in some areas, but it has also oversaturated corn and soybean crops. The rains could hinder the ongoing corn harvest and the soybean harvest that will begin in the coming weeks. The Rosario Grain Exchange is estimating soybean production to reach 50 million tons and corn production at 57 million tons. The recent excessive rains, however, could reduce those yields. Argentina is forecast to have rainy conditions for the remainder of the month. If these excessive rains do continue and they inhibit harvest to some extent, is this going to be a bullish factor for U.S. Soybeans and corn anytime soon?
Very well could be. And I think this is part of what got the market started last night, is this is starting to get a little bit more traction as far as the narrative in the market currently. And so you don't actually have to look that far back. 2016 was a year. And I think people will falsely label that year and say, oh, they didn't realize the damage to the crop in Brazil until March, and then we started to rally. It wasn't Brazil at all. It was Argentina, and it was flooding in Argentina. So Argentina had a really good bean crop that year, and then it started raining, and then it kept raining, and then we had flooding, and then you had these beans sitting in the field in water. And so what happened was the market started to price in damage to that crop. And ultimately, they overdid it, and we priced in probably about double what the actual production loss was. So I think we priced in a loss of maybe 8 or 9 million tons. It only ended up being maybe 4, 4.5, somewhere in that area. But interestingly, the bottom of the market in 2016 came right at the beginning of March. We bottomed this year right at the end of February. So timing was off by a day or two, and the market went up a couple bucks. And again, it overdid it. It priced in too much loss in Argentina, but it definitely provided some opportunity. Now, mind you, that was coming from prices that were in, we had an $8 handle as far as where we were. And we went up, I believe, eventually the July contract had traded over $11 at that point. So there was a very sizable rally. And so it's hard to say how long that may last. What I can tell you is that the market really started to pick up. So we had bottomed and we came off the lows quite a bit. But at the beginning of April was when the market really started to move aggressively to the upside. So I would say if we are still, and you had said, hey, we're probably going to stay wet till the end of the month. If it looks like we're going to carry on into April and still see that rain, then I think this market's going to take more notice.
We did have a flash sale yesterday. U.S. exporters sold 4 million bushels of soybeans to unknown destinations for delivery during the 24-25 marketing year. So is it normal to see new crop bean sales this early?
Yes. Typically, we would have actually a pretty decent export book built ahead of time prior to getting into our actual marketing year. So if you are our 2024, that change in the marketing year happens on September 1. And generally by September 1, we have a pretty good amount of new crop already sold. And so one of the things that's changed the kind of the cycle of how much we have or don't have on the books by the time we get to that new marketing year is the size of that Brazilian crop. But it is not abnormal to see new crop sales this early. And then, sorry, just to go back to that Argentina topic that we had previously for 1 second, that would be a meal story. So it is a soybean story, but they are the world's number one exporter of soy meal. So when I look at a soy meal chart right now, it looks like a head and shoulder bottom. And I think if this deal in Argentina would be the catalyst for meal to really take ownership of the potential rally moving forward.
Moving on to ethanol production, it increased last week. Weekly output of 1.05 million barrels was up 2.1% on the week and up 3.2% versus the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were pegged at 26 million barrels. The print was up marginally compared to the previous week, but down 1.5% compared to the same week last year. Implied gasoline demand was down 2.6% compared to the previous week, but up 2.5% versus the same week last year. On average, over the last 4 weeks, implied U.S. gasoline demand is up marginally versus the same period last year. Looking ahead, do you think we will continue to see ethanol production remain strong? And could we see ethanol margins improve anytime soon?
So I do think that ethanol will be a continued bright spot for corn demand. Number one, yes, corn has come off the lows as far as the value, but it is still quite a bit cheaper than what we've been dealing with over the last several years. You look at the other input being natural gas. Natural gas is extremely cheap. And then you look at the spread between ethanol and RBOB. And RBOB is your unleaded gasoline on the board. And so, you know, RBOB recently has taken out highs that were made back in September, right? So we've got actually RBOB leading the way higher in the energy complex at this point. It's not crude oil. It's not heating oil, which is your diesel fuel proxy. It is RBOB. So I think all of those things combined will continue to keep corn for ethanol a bright spot for our demand. What was your second question? I forgot while I was rambling.
Yes, ethanol margins. Do you see those improving anytime soon?
I'm frankly still friendly corn. I think corn values will continue to go up for another several weeks before we make some kind of a high this spring and mm-hmm. ultimately work our way to substantially lower values come fall. So a lot of that has to do with what the energy market does in the meantime. If we could see the energy values stay at least static, I think the input cost for ethanol being, again, corn being the main part of that, is going to improve ethanol margins substantially as we go into fall.
So the Federal Reserve held rates steady and maintained its monetary outlook on Wednesday. Despite an uptick in inflation, the majority of Fed officials signaled that three rate cuts will happen this year. It's unclear when those cuts will occur, as policymakers are still looking for more evidence that inflation is declining towards their 2% goal. Following the announcement, the stock market rose to new highs. We saw the S&P 500 gain 0.9%, the Dow Jones increased 1%, and the NASDAQ gained 1.3%. The markets are predicting a 75% chance that the Fed will begin cutting rates in June. That's up from 50% just earlier this week. From what was said yesterday, it seems as if the Fed, they will start cutting rates fairly soon. In your opinion, is the Fed reducing rates too soon? Because inflation is still here. There's no doubt about it.
You know, inflation is still here, so that's one issue. And stock market is raging into new record highs. So those two things combined would suggest it's going to be a difficult step to take to start reducing interest rates. And if you look back historically in these, you know, tightening and easing cycles, it's actually when the Fed starts to lower rates again is when the stock market puts in its highs. So I think it'll be really interesting to watch how they manage and massage this as we approach an election too this fall. I don't have the answers. But again, history would say that once they take that step to say we're going to start reducing rates, then equities are going to come under some pressure.
So the cattle futures continued to chop sideways on Wednesday, like we have seen here in recent weeks. Feeders closed an average of 36 cents lower. Live cattle closed an average of 37 cents lower. Box beef was mostly steady yesterday. Choice ended the day at 313.44. That was up 22 cents. And select ended the day at 302.71. That was down 47 cents. As I just mentioned, we have seen the cattle market chop sideways for some time now. What are you seeing with the cattle market?
When I look at April, the front contract, you know, you and I could have talked a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and this April cattle is still stuck in this spot, right? So we're just sideways right now after a nice rally from the December lows. We're at a point where cattle has to, and this is the April contract specifically, we got to break out to the upside, because if we don't, just by default, we're going to start failing through the uptrend that's been in place, and that's going to happen very soon. So we either need a catalyst to get April cattle to want to jump over 190 and stay over 190, or we're going to start falling on its own weight. There is a seasonal on the June cattle to head lower around this time of year. And so, again, I would just say I understand the fundamentals are still looking friendly. That hasn't changed in the big picture. But have we priced it in? The feeder cattle market has already violated its uptrend. So it was in a really nice upward trending channel, and it fell out of that channel. Hasn't fallen apart, but we've seen the feeder cattle kind of stall out sooner than the live cattle and is showing some weakness. So I believe feeders will be the leaders. And if we see this feeder market start to come under some more pressure, it's going to pull the live cattle down with it.
That is all we have this morning. Thank you for joining me, Brian. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.